This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication. I'm your host, Craig O'Neill, and in our episode today, we're going right back into the topic of communicating with our clients in need. In episode 058, I talked to my friend Helen Fredette, who talked about a time in her life where, hey, automotive service was a little bit out of hand as a single mom and trying to make their way in the world. It was hard. And it's not always an easy thing for us to identify clients in need in the shop. My guest today is Autumn Gray, who works with a group that used to be called Hands of the Carpenter. It is now called Spark Hope Automotive. Autoflow is proud to sponsor and partner with this program with the software that we provide. And it is such a cool group because their mission is supporting exactly the type of scenario that we discussed in episode 058. Their goal is to help single mothers with their transportation needs, both maintaining and servicing and repairing vehicles, and sometimes even providing a vehicle as well. So I think you'll enjoy this conversation that I've had with Autumn Gray. I hope there'll be many takeaways that you can bring back for your shop that you can also use to give back a little bit. The word of the day for our episode is dignity. We'll define that word for you when we come back from a break after we hear a word from our sponsors.
Looking for something meaningful? The Institute's coaching helps you leave a legacy, empower your team, and contribute to your community. Discover more at wearetheinstitute.com/business-assessment.
Your partner in technology, Autoflow is able to enhance your client interactions before, during, and after the visit from a single thread. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com.
Your trusted companion, Shop Dog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call Shop Dog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com.
Supercharge your auto shop with Inbound. AI-powered communication analytics and phone service for your professional shops. Visit callinbound.com.
Are you passing along credit card fees to your customers?
No one likes that.
Express is the only 0% fee alternative to credit card surcharging. Visit myexpress.io.
Word of the day is dignity. This is a noun. This is the state or quality of being worthy of honor or respect, a sense of pride in oneself, self-respect, the inherent worth and value that every person possesses, regardless of their circumstances. Keep that in mind as we hear from our guest. What I'm looking to do is call back to the episode 058 with Helen. I had some good feedback on that one. A lot of people have had scenarios like this. I think that within our industry, we have these cases come through our doors all the time, and a lot of us never even know about it. And that's kind of the sad part. And we might probably just cast them off, oh, not our customer type of a thing. I think where you are communicating on this from, you will have a lot to share that'll probably inform how we could be better about identifying cases like that. And then I would love to hear how you've learned to communicate with people that are coming to you in those positions and probably why it's a benefit. I'm imagining that there is an application process and it's a structured process and it's an invitation to join into that. It's not like maybe we can help you, maybe not. They have no idea we do anything. That's forefront for what you guys do.
Yeah, that's the only kind of client we get is people that need some assistance.
Okay, so yeah, that's going to help. And I think then for the people who aren't structured that way, just talk about some of the things you've learned in helping people with that, that maybe a regular, you know how traditional shops work. Yeah. So some things they can look out for and probably help them meet people where they're at. And I think one of the things as I continue to look more into what you guys do, one of the things I love is like you help them where they're at, but you don't want to keep them there. There's the second tier that I was looking on the site earlier. What's that first tier called?
We just recently changed the programming along with our name. Of course, they have a little skin in the game. Like they treat their cars better and it's just better outcome all around.
Oh, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So yeah, let's talk about those programs, the shift program and then the cruise control.
So basically, the SHIFT program is a 3-year program. So when they first come in, we do like a complete vehicle inspection. It's a very thorough inspection, like 2 hours takes. And then we go over with them everything that's wrong with their car and make an estimate. And we actually will come up with a plan, what's most important, what will keep them on the road, what can wait, stuff like that. And it's all 50% off. We have regular shop prices, although I think our hourly rate is probably lower than a lot of shops in the area.
Because Spark is a nonprofit, correct? 501c. Yeah.
Yep. So, and then we just take 50% of that, and that's what they pay. And then the cruise control, so that's a new one that we've got coming. So the people that have graduated, most of them are like really sad that they can't come here anymore. But even then, I tell them, you know, hey, you can call me anytime. If you have an estimate you want me to look at, I will totally look at it for you and tell you if I think you're being either ripped off or lied to, or if something doesn't seem right, which they use that quite a bit. But now they get to come back. So those graduates get to come back for the cruise control program. That is a 5-year program, but it's 100% that they pay.
Yeah. So they're a full paying client at this point, and that helps the shop still do its mission for the people who aren't able to pay full price. Yeah, it's actually really cool because they get to be part of the solution for other people that were in a position that they were in too. That's really beautiful.
Yeah, most definitely. And we've even had ladies that come back and will end up donating their car later on to the program because they've become into a position where they're able to get into a different car or a better car. And so they'll donate their car back to us. So that's really cool.
That's a full circle of giving there. That's really cool. Now, it's interesting because, yeah, obviously, in most cases, I would guess this would be a key question for you here, Autumn. A lot of times, the state of need that you're meeting people in, it is transitionary in most cases. It isn't always like this permanent position that they have. They're going through a tough spell. There's a way out of it. And they're just, yeah, they're getting the car to not be a part of their problem seems like your mission.
Absolutely. We have statistics finally of like, either our program or having a running vehicle does for these ladies.
I like statistics though.
Right. This is a new one for us too. We just figured this one out not too long ago. Everything's new. We just changed our name like a couple weeks ago. So everything's different.
I was so glad when you reached out the other day by email and let us know because you were formerly Hands of the Carpenter. And that's how I've always known you guys. And now it's Spark Hope Automotive, which is really a cool name for an automotive-based charity.
Fits what we do, I think, a little bit better before. What I liked about the old name is people would ask questions, you know, about it. You know, it invites questions. And we got to tell people about the program. But this one does fit.
Yeah, I definitely understand the Hands of the Carpenter and the concept and how Christ and his earthly father, Joseph, was the carpenter. And that was his profession as well in this world before his ministry. And it makes sense to me. And I think most people who are familiar with that, but yeah, this is an automotive thing. So it's cool.
I remember when you first emailed me about this position, I was like, Hands of the Carpenter, that's an automotive place? Are you sure?
I know.
I was confused.
I came to know Autumn, and let's, while we look for statistics too, Autumn, let's mention briefly here, like we first met through my boss is always looking for things to do good in the world and specifically within the industry. Hands of the Carpenter was one of the things that came across him as something that we can totally support. So AutoFlow, AutoText Me then became one of the partners that are providing software for the organization. And that's been a joy to be a part of that. And then, of course, there's other opportunities as well to contribute and do things.
You use that every day?
Yeah. Oh, it is so good because I love it. You mentioned earlier how integral the inspection process is to the guidance that you're giving people who desperately need guidance, good counsel, good advice. You guys, because this is a charity, I feel like have already taken on what I've been taught by my coach. Bob Greenwood was my coach. He taught this professional responsibility to make sure the vehicle's safe, reliable, and efficient. And I feel like when it's a for-profit shop, a lot of times people in the shop think their job is make business profitable, and they're not wrong. In a for-profit business, especially.
Right. I get that too.
Yeah, I know you understand making balances meet and all this stuff. But sometimes that feels like the priority is put on business and it is less on the purpose that we have within this that does make the money. And one of the things I always try to get people to understand is the inspection is the job. And you guys take that so seriously, because if you get something wrong on here, you understand, hey, you might have helped him with one immediate thing, but you ignored this other major thing, then it's no good.
Well, exactly. And like, well, we have our placement program too. So if they bring in a car that we think they should not even put another dime into, we definitely let them know. And so we definitely can't be wrong about that. We don't want them to put a bunch of money into a car and then we miss something major and they have to put a whole bunch of money, more money in, or they have to get another car. I mean, that would just be devastating for a lot of these women.
Yeah, so ownership is a requirement as well. You guys aren't providing cars. Sometimes you get one donated that you'll be able to probably pass along, it sounds like, but that isn't necessarily a...
Right, we sell them also at half off.
Okay, yeah, okay, beautiful. But yeah, they'll have to own their car.
Yeah, we're also a dealership.
Got it. So Autumn, one of the things I've seen, and I kind of mentioned this a little bit in episode 058 when I was talking with my friend Helen Ferdet, who herself was very transparent about a time in her life when she needed help, received a charity vehicle from her church, which came with some issues. I have been a part of some other ministries locally where well-intentioned church-going folk want to involve themselves in helping people with their transportation need. And those good intentions are not to be discounted. It's wonderful to have people involved in there. What I ran into in most of those cases were not automotive professionals. They weren't. They didn't have the knowledge that a trained automotive professional is going to have on the intake and inspection of a process before giving it to a person in need. And disaster would occur. I remember one case very clearly where a Dodge Grand Caravan, back in, this is early aughts, and a lot of us in the industry understand Dodge Caravans back then, a lot of transmission issues. That was my specialty. And it was shortly after they gifted the vehicle to this lady that transmission totally just failed. And the filter had clogged up with torque converter clutch material. And those things failed in such a spectacular way. I mean, you actually literally take the dipstick. That was so nice when they had dipsticks for us. And you could see.
Yeah, those don't have them anymore, do they?
Oh, no. It's inspecting your transmission takes even more specialty now. But I mean, you would be able to take that dipstick and you would see the torque converter clutch material on the stick. It was that bad. And we knew the smell and what to look for and all this stuff. And just checking it with the dipstick would have told me exactly what was happening to this and what was likely to occur, which is clogged filter, loss of prime, no move scenario, which is a terrifying thing if you're going down the highway and all of a sudden your transmission doesn't allow your car to drive. Awful and preventable.
Yeah. We've had ladies that have come in with a vehicle that they've been given from either another charity or a radio station, and it was more of a paperweight, you know, and like you said, good intentions, you know, and, you know, it's awesome that they were trying to help and stuff. But what we do is we fix any donated car, we fix 100% so that they have a reliable vehicle before we sell it to.
Presuming it's worth the repairs.
Right. If not, it'll go to auction and then that money is put right back into our program.
Interesting. Okay, so let me shift to one of the other things that I wanted to bring into the conversation. I think you are going to be a really appreciated expert on this for our loyal listeners here, because one of the things that Helen taught us in episode 058 is that when we're communicating with people who are in need, we don't know their status in need. And it's a very difficult thing for, especially for me, a male service advisor, when you're dealing with potentially a guard up, a female client who's having a rough go of things. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why the conversation may never even go to how we can help you. And with Spark Hope, that I think the real unique thing about this charity is that this is what you do. They are the only type of client that you're dealing with. There's a very specific, well-communicated, clearly articulated path for them to apply for assistance and receive it. That must be a major, major advantage when you're having these conversations, because you aren't going into it blind out of the gate like we are.
It's a lot easier. I would say, like, when I was in the for-profit side of it, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a woman that people would maybe talk to me a little bit differently, perhaps. But they would usually communicate their inability to be able to pay sometimes, or their situation a little bit better to me. But yeah, I think a lot of it is also portrayed as like anger, like they're like angry at you if they have certain issues going on in their life where they're not able to pay for car repairs. So I'm lucky in that way that it starts off at a totally different spot.
Yeah. And I feel like if there's been an application process, because there is, there's an application process. It's pretty well laid out. So there's clear qualifiers to become a part of the program. I imagine there's probably some cases where you unfortunately have to say no, which are probably very difficult, I'm guessing.
You know, the CEOs, he always says, look for ways to say yes more than ways to say no. And there's gray areas completely with SparkHope.
But the conversation is one that's the dignity concern that Helen raised in 058, that seems to be not as much of a factor anymore now that the application process has been started. Do you still run into it where there's, I mean, asking for help is hard for some people more than others. It's just hard. No one wants to need it. I mean, most people don't.
I don't think we run into much. I don't know about our other stores or whatnot, but in my experience here, I don't think so. No. You know, everybody's just really grateful for what we do. And I know a lot of times we'll get some ladies in that have their guard up completely when they come in and thinking that we're trying to rip them off or...
Like it's too good to be true?
Kind of, yeah. Or like, yeah, just like we're not... Or another shop has told them one thing and, you know, what we have found was not the case. And so they're like, somebody's lying and they don't know who to trust. And, but we was just say, hey, we're not trying to take your money.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because, yeah, in a charity, to have your word not taken as face value too would surprise me. There's all sorts of stories where people think they're getting help from something. So I guess that shouldn't surprise me in this world at all. And within the industry.
So I get more of that than like people like, dealing with issues like with their dignity and whatnot. I get more of the whole like having their guard up more so.
So you still feel like it's more of a trust, like what we're actually discussing on the car, this is true, what we're telling you, that's more of the issue still?
Sometimes. It's not nearly as bad as in the for-profit side of things, but every once in a while you do run into that. We do win them over usually.
What's your methodology for establishing that trust? I mean, the relationship is based on giving and gratitude in most cases, but still that's not always going to be... automatic. Trust is not automatic.
Most definitely. You know, I just try to be very reassuring with them and I am very clear and explain the process with them very clearly and make sure they understand that, you know, this is what you're going to pay. This is what we're going to do. And this is how your car is going to run. We're done. And, you know, just try to reassure them that, you know, you're going to have a vehicle, a good running vehicle when we're done. I don't think I've ever come across a lady that we couldn't help, you know, that has gone through the application process and has come through orders. We've been able to help, I think, everybody.
Imagine taking on each day with a team that cares about doing more. They're motivated, skilled, humble, and hungry. They're invested in your shop's success because that success helps them do more than just sell jobs and fix cars. At the Institute, we believe a thriving business is built on its people. Our comprehensive coaching and peer groups help you become a leader who is capable. Capable of inspiring your employees to reach new heights, capable to deliver exceptional customer service, and capable to grow your business into a respected pillar of your community. Start your legacy at weareintheinstitute.com/business-assessment.
It's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from Autoflow. Today's spotlight is on advisor eye twitches. Listen. Clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using Autoflow. With Autoflow's automated text updates, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit autoflow.com. Want to see your auto repair shop thrive? Are you looking to drive more customers to your auto repair shop? Let ShopDog Marketing be your guide. Our customer-first approach, combined with AI-driven creative content, ensures top rankings. Dominate mobile-first and voice search with our specialized expertise. Reach out to ShopDog Marketing today and start growing your business. Don't miss out on this chance to boost your business. Visit shopdogmarketing.com. Inbound has exclusively served independent auto repair shops with expert communication solutions for years. Our robust VoIP platform ensures you stay connected while our industry-leading AI analytics take your business to the next level.
we provide the tools you need to understand your customers and optimize every interaction. Choose Inbound for proven expertise and unmatched innovation. Visit callinbound.com and discover the difference we can make.
Credit card surcharging sounds effective, but is this single most damaging action to your shop in the last decade? If you're surcharging, you're tarnishing your reputation and losing customers as we speak. Express is the only 0% fee option to surcharging that your customers already know how to use. No tricks, no hidden fees, just a smarter way for auto shops to keep what's yours and do right by your customers. Book a free consultation with Express today by visiting myexpress.io and see how the most successful shops in the country are flipping the script on credit card processors.
So we talked briefly on the shift versus cruise control. I guess one of the things that I'd be interested in hearing about is another story, perhaps, on, not with anyone's names, but an example of a case where you saw someone, initially they were in the shift program, as you would label it now, where they needed help with the repairs, they're paying the discounted rate, but now they are on more firm or solid footing, able to do 100% pay on themselves. What's that process like? What's your perspective on it too? And how does it feel when you see it come full circle, as what I'd like to hear?
It's such a new process that I don't really have too many examples of the cruise control program. I do have a couple of ladies that I've informed, and they are super excited to be able to come back because, you know, I haven't seen them in a while and whatnot. So they're really excited that they can come back here because they just seem so nervous about going back out into the for-profit world.
Oh, I see now. Because, yeah, this is a new program, and because it's new, and invitation only too, from what I saw on the website. But yeah, this solves their end of the problem, where effectively the people that had graduated from you basically were sent back out into just the regular market, but they had an established relationship and did have trust with you, and no longer can they use you as a shop. So this is another way for them to be able to come back in and still keep working with you.
Yeah, they're all pretty excited. And none of them have even really said anything about having to pay the 100%. Again, they're just glad to be able to come back. Now, we do try to like educate them while they're here for that 3 years and teach them more about their vehicle, and so that they're more prepared when they go talk to another shop rather than just throw them to the wolves, you know.
Have you had any stories where someone did have to go out there and did not get an experience on par with what you had been delivering? That's great. Now, Colorado market, I know there's a lot of great shops out where you guys, because you're in Colorado, is closer to the Denver area. Where was this? There's three locations.
We're in Golden. We have a one up north in Federal Heights. So we're all like just on the outskirts of Denver, and then another one in Aurora.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot around, a busy area for those who haven't been there. Beautiful mountains also.
Yeah. Lots of traffic though. Lots of traffic.
Yes, there is. Denver, great spot to go, but yeah, you're going to be, it's such a huge space. A lot of people in it too.
You're going to be sitting in traffic a while. There's a lot of good shops out there, and a lot of them used to work with us too. You know, back before we did our own mechanics, had our own mechanics and shop and all that, all the area shops would be working with us and helping us to get vehicles ready for ladies.
Being a communication podcast, one of the things I really like to do, and especially for those of us who've worked at a counter in any context, be it a charity organization in this case, or just in a for-profit shop, I find it a fulfilling role. And I can think usually on several cases where some of the most fulfilling interactions occurred. And so I'd like to know, just from your time, either in any element of your career in the industry, what has been your most fulfilling moment as a service consultant?
There's been so many since I've been working here. I absolutely love working here. One client of ours, actually, I just spoke with her today. I don't think she really understood like what I was trying to help her with. She had an old Honda Accord, like very old, and it's on its last leg. And I told her, you know, we'll get you back on the road until we can get you into something better. And she said, okay. And she was going to do the work that she needed to do. And I didn't hear from her for a long time. I finally called her and she's like, you know, I guess I don't think I'm going to be able to afford anything. And I told her, I was like, well, we're going to help you out with all this. You know, trust me, we're going to be able to get you into something better, 100%. And it's going to be on your terms, and it's going to be doable for you. And I just explained it more to her, and she came last night to look at some of the cars that I was going to be offering to her, and she just started crying. She's like, I can buy this car. I was like, yes, yes, you're going to be able to buy that car. That was really awesome. There's this one client of ours that I always talk about that she had like an addiction problem for a long time, and she overcame that, and she needed a car, and she couldn't get her kids to live with her because she had to drive so far to go take them to school. So, sorry, this one always makes me cry.
It's okay.
Anyway, so we got her into a car and she got her kids back. And now they're in the Air Force.
It's a great Air Force town over there. I know it is. Wow.
Right? That was a good story. I always like that one.
Nope. You got me here too, Autumn. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, what a happy thing to be able to be a part of. And what a beautiful missional purpose in that. Thank you for sharing that. Oh my gosh. This is a powerful thing. I feel like this is the heart of the industry. It is the heart of our industry, though. I know that most of the shop owners I get to work with on a day-to-day basis, they hear stories like this and they think, oh yeah, they probably even have some stories where they were able to help. And it wasn't necessarily they set out at the beginning of the day to do that, but it's always been on their heart. They want to do that. It's harder maybe to find the opportunities in some cases, or they're doing something like this. I guess for those that are out there right now that hear your story, hear how fulfilling that is for you and want to be able to give back in this way, what can we do to start something like that in our own communities? Is there something that you've seen that just is a very easy way for even a for-profit now shop that could start doing something like this?
I know there's not many places out there like us. I don't think there's anybody that goes to the extent that we do at all, but there are places that help out. Well, the overhead is so high at a shop, you know, I mean, it's a lot of money to do something like this. So, you know, if you have somebody that's struggling, anytime that you're able to give any kind of discount, I think is very helpful for these ladies, you know, and if it's not going to, you know, hurt business or whatnot. I mean, in my opinion, just the way I feel, if you have the ability to help somebody out, why not?
Yeah, I feel like the why not for a lot of shops is the fact that they're just unaware of the fact that someone who's in front of them right now is in that situation. And I feel like that's one of the most tragic things I run into this in my study of communication over these last several years, especially. I can sit and observe conversations happening and hear where details are withheld, and to start to see when details are withheld, how confusion comes in, or doubt, or a lack of trust. And it's almost like it's the plot in any sitcom that you ever see or a comedy show. Is like there's always a key lazy plot line in some comedy shows. It's like, I'm not going to tell so-and-so about this thing. And then everything that goes awry because of not knowing. And then, of course, the solution comes later on when that is revealed that there's this thing all along. I get it, right? Like a lot of people aren't going to have the communication there. And I think that for me, as I thought about this episode, as I thought about what Helen said, one of the things that I saw that just stood out more than anything else is the missional purpose is put out there. It is actually communicated up front that if this is the situation, here is the process. We've created it. There's an application process. You can apply and then we can review and we can do our inspection, make sure the vehicle is this, and this is how it's going to go. And this whole sequence plays out rather, hopefully, beautifully, but not always the case on some cars.
Right. This is true. You know, I don't know, maybe asking more questions when customers come in, you know, just getting to know them a little bit more. I don't know if shops are able to ever do something like that, where they maybe have a couple of clients a year or something that they're able to help out, you know, who knows, something like that might be doable.
Yeah. I mean, there were some cases too, where in my experience, the client would divulge the circumstances and that why they couldn't pay a bill or that much or whatever. And it's like, you know what? Glad you mentioned that for us here. One of the things we do try to do, but it was always like, oh, I would have never expected this sort of thing. It wasn't something we wore out there or presented or anything at all. It was just like, hey, I had conversations with my dad and grandpa's like, hey, this is something I'd like us to be able to do. And occasionally when someone came into a state of need, it's like, okay, yeah, we can do it in this case and that sort of thing. And that was kind of the end of it. It wasn't structured. It was more reactive to a very specific circumstance that there, the desire might've been there, but the need wasn't there and we didn't have a process for it. So yeah, it's definitely a process thing.
I think it's definitely more of a problem than you even realize. I think there's a lot of people out there that can't afford car repairs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's my assumption today. back then, when I was doing this and still meeting people in Eden, seeing people cry in front of me, we were talking $1,800 to $2,200 repairs were the just like absolute worst case scenario, end of story for this car type cases. We see $10,000 repairs now.
Oh, yeah.
And the vehicles are $60,000 or $50,000. $30,000 cars are getting scarce.
Yes, they are. What happened? Like, how did that happen so fast? It seems like it was like almost overnight.
Well, when you're sitting there too with the housing costs, well, the story I would hear is like, I would love to be able to buy this, but it's going to be my car or the house this week. And it's like, well, we want you to keep your house. Let us help you with your car. I mean, it's just that way. I'd like to know how this has changed how you communicate in other areas of your life. When you see these situations there and you go out into the world and you have other service needs and anything else, or just you're listening to other conversations in your community.
I think it's changed me completely. I tell us everybody about us because I don't think our name is out there enough. But I feel like this, so many more people could be doing this in so many other industries as well. I just don't think there's enough organizations out there like this. And we're not like a freebie kind of place, you know, where people pay money, and which I think is the best way to go, because they take so much better of their car if they are paying for repairs and paying for the car.
Well, you mentioned this earlier, when they have some skin in the game too. And one of the things, like the language that you're using here, is you're working with them rather than just helping. Looking at it now, I just think, like we talk on the dignity issue, I think that that's one of those things that specifically preserves all of that. And this whole process makes this a lot easier of a, we're eye to eye on this. It's not like, we're sitting above here reaching and stooping to help you. It's that we're your partner in this.
Exactly. I try to read them a little bit so that they're not asking me for everything. You know, like I do try to offer things before they even say, as far as that whole dignity part goes, you know, I don't really want them to feel like they're being either like too needy or whatnot. I mean, because they're not. I mean, I understand that these are real issues when your vehicle has problems and you have it right. And but I do try to offer up all this, anything I can in any way.
And you get the information that you need without being intrusive.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they've already told us their story and in their application typically, but a lot of them will open up to us like the second they walk in the door. So
it's interesting. Yeah. Cause the application process handles a lot of the story and the condition of the need, but it really becomes a lot more about the vehicle, doesn't it? After the process is initiated.
Yep. It's all about the vehicle. Is it a good vehicle? I would say it's about 50-50, like the kind of cars that come in here. A lot of them are just not, they're not worth their repairs. They need a lot.
Yeah, frustrating to see.
It is. And a lot of it is maintenance. And, you know, we try to push that a lot. We're like, change your oil. It is the best thing you can do for a car, your easiest thing to keep it going. I mean, it's just what you need to do. Just change your oil.
Of course. A lot of the times I'm always thinking on this topic too. It's always like a breakdown scenario, but they need help with the maintenance, literally making a plan, right?
Because then their car will last. We teach them how to maintain it, the importance of maintaining it, so that they don't end up in the same situation that they're in when they first came to us.
And see, this is where it's really helpful, Autumn, to have this conversation. Because for me, I can tell, even as I've been discussing this, I'm always thinking already of the breakdown moment as part of the issue. And then we're going to help fix problem. So much more, it sounds like, of what you do is that long-term care, helping them understand what it is they need to do. So you're literally educating and making a plan. I would say that this actually fits one of the terms I've started using instead of like this do it for me business model, like a lot of shops have. It's this manage it for me. And in this case for you, it's even more specifically not for me, but manage it with me.
Right. We do like them to understand why we're telling them to do the things they're doing. I'd rather have them understand why I'm telling them this is how much it is, rather than just say, here, this is what's wrong with your car. You know, figure it out.
Yeah. And I know plenty of shops.
I do try to tell them why.
Yeah. And a lot of times we see financial objections in shops all the time. And sometimes this is a clue that never gets divulged fully. We hear a financial objection and we think, well, that's your problem. And that's the end of that. Well, frustrating that would probably be. Tough stuff.
To me, that's difficult because there is a lot of room in pricing of automotive repairs. There is some wiggle room there that you can work with people and not lose money, you know?
One of the hardest things, like there's a lot of shops that want to be uncompromising in quality and even offering a lesser repair. And there's valid reasons for it. And you probably run into this too, I'm guessing. In an earnest desire to help save money, there's a difficult compromise that happens to come into the things like, well, we can make it more affordable right now, but we'll use this part, which isn't going to last as long. And every time, I feel like this is true for me. Tell me if it's true for you, Autumn. Every time we made a compromise on a part for quality, bit us in the butt. Oh my goodness.
And you know better every time, and you still do it.
Yeah, out of the best intentions.
Yeah, we try not to.
Yeah, when you say there's wiggle room, you're not specifically discussing dipping down in the quality standards.
No, I'm talking about more of like a profit side.
Nice.
But that's just me.
No, yeah. Hey, this is the nature of charities on this. Now, you're not only being funded by the individuals, of course, that are coming in for the vehicles. You have donors from other areas as well, correct?
Most definitely. Our vehicle donations are probably our biggest. That's what brings the most money in, is our people donating their vehicles. But we definitely have our gala is coming up as well. That's our huge fundraising event for the year.
The Heart of Hope Gala, I saw on the website, correct? So, okay, that's Saturday, November 15th. And where is that? Arvada?
Yes, tickets are for everybody. If anybody wants to come to our gala, it's a fun experience, fun shindig. Everybody gets to dress nice.
Dress up, yep. So gala is formal attire, correct? So what happens at this gala?
It's an auction. It's a charity auction. Lots of fun stuff to try to bid on, like really big things and then not so big things too. So it's lots of fun, actually. There's food.
Okay. And they're looking for sponsors still, am I understanding?
Yes, they are. So anybody that would like to be a sponsor, just go to our website and check it out.
That is sparkhopeautomotive.org, the new website.
Our new website.
Well, Autumn, thank you so much for sharing some of this. Did we miss anything that we wanted to talk about today? Or is there any other things you would like to talk about in your role as a service consultant, or why you came to love working with Spark Hope and what they do?
Well, you know, I've been in the automotive industry since 2006, all for profit. Like, I started out engine building and then was a technician and then went to service advisor. And it wasn't until then that I realized how expensive, like, vehicles repairs are. It's insane how expensive they can be. I had no idea before that. I didn't realize how much of a markup there is or how much, you know, the hourly rate was. I just didn't know. I don't know why. I never even thought to ask. I took a little bit of time off to have a baby. And when I came back, a friend asked me to come help him start his shop with him. And I just had such a hard time like charging people full price. So this was right down my alley. I was like, when he called me, I was like, this is perfect. This is the perfect job for me. So love it.
Were you one of those service advisors that sold from their own pocket, so to say? Like, it was hard to want to just sell what the true value of the service were?
Yeah. I just had such a hard time, like, just charging full price. It was hard. So I like this place a lot better.
You've got a heart of gold, and it can be a really tough spot when you're the front-facing person meeting the public, and you see the need, and you see the pain that it costs on auto repair. It does. And service advisors everywhere. Autumn, you struck on a nerve that's, I believe, universal. It does. It is an understated stressor for the service advisors. We are the harbingers of bad news in so many days. To be the guy that has to tell them the cost of the thing, whether it's literally keeping a single mother from being able to have her kids back, or if it's just ruining someone's family vacation that was going to go down as planned, it can feel bad when you have to give that sort of news. What I did find for myself, and I think this obviously is what you're saying is true for you too, having some structured form of actual charity to give back gives a conduit for a respite, even for our own hearts that are broken every day having to give this news.
I think that would be a great idea for any shop.
Yeah, because not everyone has an opportunity to be a service advisor in a charity. We can't just ship all of our service advisors there.
Yeah, I'm very lucky in that respect, for sure. My husband, he works at another shop. And so we're always like talking about like how much, you know, they charge and whatnot at their shop. And I don't know, it's just, I'm just so glad I'm not in the for-profit side so much anymore.
We should be so fortunate that those of us in the for-profit side have enough clients who can afford full price.
Well, and obviously there are people like that can afford it, because otherwise they wouldn't, you know, shops wouldn't thrive like they do.
Yeah. And it's not a wrong thing. Like, this is the thing I have to always remind service providers, like, for profit, it's not a bad thing. No, you're providing a service.
The overhead in a shop is so high. Like, it's so much money to run a shop. I mean, it's not wrong. It's just hard.
Yeah. This is the unfortunate crux of the whole scenario is, like, it is an extraordinarily expensive business. It is funded by people who are having a bad day. And we have to be able to get paid in order to continue to offer the service to keep the vehicles going down the road. There's just zero question on it. For me, that was a difficult thing to overcome for a while. But once you understand business sense, it's not a problem. Having the opportunity to be a part of a charity, though, I think restores some balance to our own minds and hearts and gives us a sense of back as well. Just, I think it's not hard. Like, if you're priced right and your business is successful, as it should be, there's an opportunity here. And the opportunity is likely everywhere around you.
I was okay with being a service advisor at a for-profit shop. I stayed in it for years and years. So, I mean, it's nothing that I think is wrong or bad. Very few shops out there, I think, lie to customers or anything like that. Every car has something wrong with it that's on the road. I mean, there's no reason to lie to anybody, you know?
There's plenty of opportunity out there. We all know it. There's no need to create it.
Right. So, and I think a lot of people need to realize that too, that shops aren't out to take all your money.
Last thing I wanted to say too, you've heard episode 058. We were talking on this a little bit before. For people that are in situations like Helen Fredette had mentioned in her life, what would you say to those people?
There are charities in like every community that do something to some degree what we do. But if you're in the Denver metro area, come see us for sure. Or call us, because, you know, we do have other resources out there that help people with their vehicle repairs. But just talk to your service advisor, really. They may be able to help you.
Talk to your service advisor. Open up a little bit. I know it's vulnerable. It's hard sometimes, but good people in these businesses. I know there are so many. It's always been my experience, Autumn. Yeah.
So many of them have helped us in the neighborhood. I mean, they're good people.
Beautiful. Being that valuable second opinion as well. Always a beautiful thing.
Most definitely. And you don't even have to tell them like your whole story or anything. Just, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask for help.
Yeah, it does not need to be the whole story. You don't need to justify the help you need. Yes.
To say, that's just a lot of money, you know? Just, can you help me out here? That's all I got to say.
Yep. I am certain of the fact that the people out there, especially listeners like we enjoy here in the Aftermarket Radio Network, some of the best people in the business, absolute best people in the business. My wife was with me at the Mars conference. We're so sorry you couldn't be there, Autumn. I know you were supposed to come out there. You would have loved it.
I know, really, but I was so bummed about that. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, hey, he's giving me a free ticket. Like, can I go, please?
Timing is tough. The week of Labor Day, all the things that we know. Yes. But I'll tell you what, my wife, she doesn't get to come with me to a lot of the automotive shows. So we're at the Institute's Mars conference and she gets to meet some of my friends in the industry and some of the sponsors of this podcast were there. We had Dan from Shop Dog Marketing, David from Inbound, of course, Cecil, Kent, and Jimmy from the Institute. And they're just such great people. It was actually Sunday. So we had been at the conference. I was there Thursday. My wife got there Friday. Then Saturday, we were at the conference again. Sunday was our only free day to do some hiking. But we got up on Sunday morning and she says, oh, I was actually kind of excited when I woke up today to go see those people again. But the conference was over. They truly are. They're some of the kindest, most people-oriented people in the business. And that's been my experience coming up in this industry for so long and sharing that with people that are in need. I try to explain like, man, you don't understand how great this industry is and how many people are in it that want to help. Autumn, you would have been a great company. So hopefully we'll get you out at another one of those events sometime soon.
Right. Yeah. Let me know when that leadership one is coming around for sure.
Yeah. I think they do some stuff in the Colorado area too. So yeah, I know your boss had mentioned.
Yeah. I think I saw something like that. Yeah.
Now, your CEO's name, your boss?
Dan Georgopoulos.
Dan? Got it. There's more information on Spark Hope Automotive on the website. So to our listeners, I'll say, take a look at it. Look at their model. I think it's one that's absolutely worth replicating. And folks like Autumn, hey, if you have questions, Autumn, how can anyone reach out to you if they have questions or would like to pick your brain a little further?
Yes, anybody can reach out to me. My email is autumn@sparkhopeautomotive.org. Anybody, reach out. I will answer an email.
Yeah, you seem approachable enough. Yeah. No, Autumn, you're great. Thank you so much for sharing. And thank you to our listeners for listening today. And hey, remember to listen to the other shows on the Aftermarket Radio Network. We have Carm Capriato's Remarkable Results Radio, We have Matt Fonslow's Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z, Kim and Brian Walker's The Shop Marketing Podcast, and then have Hunt Demarest with his Business by the Numbers and Coach Chris Cotton's Weekly Blitz. And hey, if you have anything you want to hear from this show, reach out to me at speakup@craigoneill.net. That's O'Neill with two L's, O-N-E-I-L-L. And we'd love to hear from you on things that can be helpful for you or your feedback on this episode. And hey, remember, folks, get out there, listen up before you speak up, and hey, give back. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Craig on your favorite podcast listening app and on his YouTube channel. Let him know what you'd like him to speak up about. Craig is all for advancing the automotive service aftermarket.